Kia ora and welcome to Emmett's Podcast, episode 286. Today is Thursday, July 26, 2012. Well, I wasn't going to record a podcast today, but events have sort of conspired to... Damn it, bumped the mic again. Events have conspired to make sure that I did record today. The reason I wasn't going to is because I haven't edited the Too Political episode I recorded with Jason last week. And so I felt I should finish that before I record a new one of my own. But things have sort of conspired to mean that if I don't record today, I won't have time until sometime next week at the earliest. So here we are. First, let's get to the big news. The big news. Today, a bill to establish marriage equality in New Zealand was drawn from the member ballot in Parliament. Now, I've explained before how this works, but the gist of it is that the government of the day, whoever's leading government, decides what their work program is. That's what they like to call it, their work program. And what that means are the bills that the government is going to push forward, and those are automatically considered. They automatically go for first reading, and then they go to the committee stage, and so on and so forth and so on, until ultimately they're passed. Almost always they're passed. Those who are not in government, or just individual members of parliament, can draw up a bill and put it in basically a lottery, is what it amounts to have their bill drawn. If it's drawn, then it's considered, along with other bills before Parliament. Now, the government of the day can either back the bill, essentially making it a government bill, or they can take hands off and have nothing to do with it, or they can actively let it take its course, or they can actively oppose it, which is very often what does happen, especially because they're often for pet projects that are, against the agenda of whoever is in government at that time. So, Louisa Wall, who is the MP for Manurewa, which is really hard for me to say, in South Auckland, put a bill in the ballot to establish marriage equality here in New Zealand. Now, when this was all being debated, you probably remember this, when the leaders were talking about their positions on marriage equality and all that, John Key, the Prime Minister and leader of the National Party, said that he would probably support it to the first reading, through the first reading, so that it could go to committee stage and have all the feedback and so forth and so on, but he wasn't making any commitments beyond that. He hasn't said anything since then, so we don't really know what's going to come of that. But a Colmar Brunton poll that was taken last month, in June, found that 63% of New Zealanders thought that gay and lesbian couples should have the right to marry. So the people of New Zealand are behind it, and we'll see what happens with Parliament itself. Sort of all bets are off, but Charles Chevelle, who is one of the senior Labour Party MPs, openly gay, and he tweeted today that it could get to its first reading by this time next month. So time's a-wasting. So I'm writing to my MP, Jonathan Coleman, and urging him to support the marriage equality bill and try to find out what his position is, because nobody knows, and see if we can't kind of move him along on this issue a little bit. So that's probably going to become a topic, a recurring topic of mine for the next, month anyway, maybe even beyond that if it gets past that stage, if it gets past the first reading, which I think it probably will. I think it probably will pass the first reading and we'll go on to the committee stage, but we'll see how things go. It's too early to tell. But it's very exciting news because it was uncertain whether or not this was going to happen or not. There's been a lot of background noise about this. John Key doesn't want a bar of it. He doesn't want anything controversial because he doesn't want anything to spoil his image as that nice Mr. Key, as people refer to him. And so he's kind of want to run the other direction. But there is a growing groundswell of support for this, particularly because the tide has turned in the U.S., and it certainly has here as well. And even though our cousins across the ditch in Australia are still struggling with the issue of relationship recognition of any kind, let alone marriage, we've had civil unions since 2005. We haven't slipped under the sea, and people have grown up a lot over the intervening years, and I think New Zealand's ready to move on. But we shall see. I don't know what's going to happen, and whether or not, we'll just leave that part at that for now. So that's very exciting news. That just happened today. In fact, it was at 12:20 p.m. today that the story broke the first report I saw, and that was just over an hour ago as I'm recording. So it's breaking news as I am recording. And that's actually the whole reason why I decided I was going to go ahead and record today. The obstacle, if you want to call it that, that's actually not the right word. The reason I won't be able to podcast again until sometime next week is that Nigel's mom is coming up this afternoon. His older sister, who we have takeaway night with on Fridays, went down to visit her to help her celebrate her birthday, and they all went out for a banquet at a Thai restaurant last night, I guess it was. And so she convinced her mom to come up with her to Auckland, and she'll stay with us over the weekend. And then probably early next week, I'll take her back home or something. We haven't worked that part out yet, but something like that. And so I'm trying to get the house all ready. I'm trying to do my house cleaning today, Thursday, rather than wait till tomorrow, Friday, when I normally do it. And I also have some errands to run. I'm going to get a flu jab because apparently the strain of influenza A in New Zealand is particularly bad this year and has hospitalized lots of people and has, I think, even killed a couple. So I thought, and it's not too late to get a jab, apparently. So I thought, well, might as well go for it. And this year, chemists are able to give you a flu jab. And so I'm going to go check into that when I go run my errands. So that's all the exciting stuff I'm doing. And that's also the barrier. Now, Nigel's cousin, who is staying with us right now, bought an apartment over the weekend, but she's not moving into it until I think it's late August or September or something. And but she only stays with us during the week because she has a house in another town. And actually, the settlement on that was today. She's moving in today and tomorrow. And So she'll be there on the weekends, and she will be there all this weekend, which is why Nigel's mom can come and stay with us, because we've got the extra room. So that's what we're doing. Now, originally I had planned, I don't know why I'm smacking. That's rude, I shouldn't do that. Originally I had planned on doing some updates, but because this just broke and I'm still in a rush to try to get my things done, I don't have all of my ducks lined up in a row to tell you about the things I wanted to update you on. But it's about stories that I've talked about in the past. One of them is that cathedral, that's the word I'm looking for, in Christchurch. You probably remember that they have plans to build a cardboard cathedral, a temporary cathedral in Christchurch while they basically work out what they're going to do. Well, that's been given resource consent, and that's going ahead. So there's really no reason to link to any story about that, because that's really all there is to the story. So and then at this past weekend, the New Zealand National Party, which is the current party leading government, held its annual conference, and the Prime Minister John Key said that there was going to be some sort of a bonus scheme, for some sort of loyalty bonus that he's calling it, for people buying shares in the state-owned assets that his government is selling off. Now, there's no details about this. In fact, he doesn't have any details. He just said he's going to have one, and he said it might not cost anything. Well, of course it's going to cost something. If you're giving people money, that money's got to come from somewhere. And so obviously there's going to be an impact on the budget. And that man just has no connection to reality, I swear. But the minimum share offer is going to be $1,000. And I think it's in $1,000 increments, if I remember correctly, although a lot of this isn't finalized yet. And the thing is, it's been some bright spark worked out that at $1,000, a buy of these shares that we already own, by the way, because we already own all these companies as New Zealanders, buying shares in these privatized companies is going to is beyond the reach of the vast majority of New Zealanders, and that it's actually cheaper to leave New Zealand and go to Australia than it is to buy these shares. So I don't know what's going to end up happening. I was saying to somebody the other day that I was tempted to buy some and hold on to them just for the inevitable day that a future Labour government buys it back, to make it easier so that they don't fall into foreign hands, because most of the shares that are sold are going to be sold off quickly to foreigners anyway. And although the government is going to keep 51% of the shares in these privatized assets, if National wins another term in government, they'll probably flog off that as well. So I have no faith whatsoever in these people, but I don't know. We'll see. So those are a few stories that I wanted to, three stories, whatever, that I wanted to update you on, and I'm sure I'm going to be talking a lot about this marriage equality thing as the as it unfolds. But all of that, of course, is stuff for future issues. I would go on and do more with topics that I wanted to update you on, but unfortunately I'm not prepared because of all the crush of activity all of a sudden. So I'll have to save that for another time. So right now, I'm going to go over to the comments for 285. And the comment is from Roger Green, who said, "The U.S. Census is available after 72 years. The 1940 census was released on April 2nd, 2012, a boon to genealogists." Thank you, Roger. I knew you would know about that. And he goes on, "But you can find from my city's website, not only when my wife and I bought the house, what we paid for it, but the various banks we've dealt with in terms of mortgages. As a quasi-state employee, my salary can be found on another website." Quite frankly, I find that disturbing. I don't think I would want all of that information that readily accessible. Although, I have a little side note. Several years ago, this is actually when we moved to Pyrawa. We sold our house here in Auckland. And long story, but basically, we had to get... there's no way of explaining it without explaining it. The house that we had was one of 10 houses in this little development. And at that time, you couldn't subdivide property. I don't know why, but you couldn't. And so they used to get around it with this thing they called a cross lease, which is that all of those 10 houses had an equal share of the land there and the exclusive use of where their actual house was. However, because it was a cross lease, any variation to the exterior of the house had to be approved by all the other owners. And the house we were living in, a previous owner, had extended the decks, and so the decks weren't on the original plans. So in order to complete the sale, we had to get written consent from all the other owners for the continuing existence of those decks, because the other option, of course, was to remove the decks, which wasn't going to happen. So I had to go to what was then North Shore City Council and find out who the owners were, and I wanted to write it down. I started to write it down. I said, "I'm sorry, you can't take that information out of here." I said, "Well, hang on. You're the only people who have this information. I'm required to send a notice to my fellow owners in order to get consent for something." I didn't go into all the details. In order to sell the house. And you're the only people who have this information. If I don't write this down, then I have no way of complying with what their attorney insists that I comply with. And she said, "Well, okay." Kind of let me do it, which made me wonder, is that really a rule or is she just being a difficult person? So it's not, even to this day, that sort of information isn't that easy to come by. You can order a property report on any property, but most councils by default don't show, in fact, maybe all of them, by default don't show who owns a property. They only show what the rates are. Well, rates are like property taxes. And that's about it. It certainly doesn't show who has a financial interest in it, like a bank, a mortgage, for instance. The only way you can find that out is to do a title search, which is something that normally is done as part of the sale or purchase process anyway. But it's not something that you could easily do yourself, certainly not without, you'd have to go and pay a fee to get it. You would not be able to get that kind of information online for free, certainly. Anyway, he finishes, "Oh, your recent podcast titles reminded me of the Elton John album Made in England. All the songs, except for the title track, had one-word names. Arthur's Made in Illinois." Probably more like Made in Auckland, but but anyway, I was made in Illinois, of course, but we won't go there. That gets into the TMI territory. And that is actually why this episode is called Excellent. I was going to call it Betterer as a sort of a joke and an homage to Roger's comment, except that I thought some folks might miss the extra "er" and might just see it as "better" and think it was the same one over again or something. So I thought, no, I'll just call it Excellent, because today we had excellent news. Oh, speaking of excellent, one last thing. Last week, Jake, our main puppy, original puppy or whatever, he went poorly. He started crying when he would move, and we thought there was something stuck. Now, without getting too graphic, he's a hairy dog, and we thought that there might be items stuck around his poo hole. And if it pulls on the hairs, he would cry. Well, it wasn't that. He was clean, as we would have hoped. But so I took him to the vet because he wasn't any better the next day, and he was feeling really sorry for himself. And the vet said that she thought that he had a ruptured disc. And so she gave him a shot of painkiller and gave us some pills and told us to keep him basically completely quiet for 4 days, even putting him in a crate, which we don't have. And she said we could even think about renting one if he won't stay quiet. And then keep him basically still quiet, letting him out for the next week, but only take him for walks on lead. And in other words, not let him run around free. Well, that was never going to work. But what we did do for the first few days is instead of letting him like jump up on the bed, because once he started feeling better, he wanted to get back to his old self. So we would pick him up and put him on the bed or whatever, pick him up and put him down on the floor when he wanted to get down rather than letting him jump. And we don't let Sonny tackle him and chase him around and stuff like that. But he's doing much better now. He is pretty much back to his old self. And he's actually not taking the painkillers anymore. I stopped that yesterday, and he's fine. So that's all really good to see, but still going to keep him quiet, at least until the weekend. And then well, pretty much he can do whatever he wants. We do not walk him on lead. He's not used to going to the toilet on lead. So we just let him go out in our courtyard, because the courtyard is completely fenced. He can't run anywhere, really. He can trot around there a bit, but he can't like, you know, get out and go for a big run. And there's nothing to jump on to speak of. So we thought it was reasonably okay. And particularly since we kept an eye on him, we thought, you know, oh, well, it's probably best, because he was feeling really sad when we had him. I had him locked in the house at first so that he wouldn't go outside and run around and so on. And he was so sad. You could see it looking at him. He looked awful. He looked like his whole world was crushed. And, but then, too, of course, the painkillers also kicked in, and that, I'm sure, helped his helped the situation as well. But that is it for today. Now, at the end of this, after the, you know, my usual outro, the contact details and blah, 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 I have the first promo for the Pride 48 Extravaganza. And, of course, last week I had a hidden Easter egg on the episode. I don't know if anybody caught that. But that's it for today. I will talk to you sometime next week. Have a great weekend. Bye.
You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed on a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.
It's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
And not in the good way. Pride 48 2012 is coming to an internet near you. Live from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, the luxurious Luxor Resort, and cities around the globe, Pride 48 2012 will be streaming across the World Wide Web September 14th through the 16th. Join us online or in person. Stay at the Luxor and Excalibur Resorts and take advantage of our special discounts using our exclusive discount codes. For all this information and more, log on to pride48.com and be sure to mark September 14th through the 16th on your big gay calendar.